Good morning, all. My name is Rosie, and I have the pleasure this morning to introduce you to the Blue Hill Mountain Stories series. These stories were recorded by George Stevens Academy's audio production class and produced for WERU by Rosie Landrum. Today's episode features Brad Emerson, interviewed by George Stevens Academy's senior, Liam Henry. Brad Emerson, the son of Gordon Emerson, talks about his father's impact on the town. Brad owns an antique shop and writes for a number of websites about Maine architecture. His family has lived in the Blue Hill area for generations. In this interview, Brad speaks about the history of land ownership and access on the mountain, and his father's role in making it available for future generations. Thank you so much for listening to Blue Hill Mountain Stories this morning, and I hope you enjoy our interview with Brad Emerson.
It's a wonderful symbol. People see it, they react to it as, well, it's the namesake of the town, for example. But it is the most tangible thing you think of when you think of Blue Hill. Coming in from the water in the afternoon after being out on a boat, driving home from the big city, and coming over the hill in Penobscot, and there it is, and you're almost home. And of course, as, the late Rob McCall said, there is so much myth and legend and history wrapped up in the mountain. My father was an amazing guy. He was bright, brilliant, and in fact, he was an incredible natural diplomat and politician and negotiator, and managed to keep a very contentious town quite happy for quite a few years, and, instigated a lot of projects that moved the town forward. He did everything he could to expand recreational opportunities in Blue Hill. He worked with people like Francis Nichols, who was a philanthropist who started the Nichols Day Camp, which is such a wonderful program in town, and worked with Nichols to improve the athletic field and everything. In the early 60s, zoning, the nastiest word in Blue Hill, even today, was looking to be a vital necessity, and Francis Nichols offered to fund a zoning project, and my father, was totally behind it, and they let it. It still got turned down. In those days, the people who didn't understand the value of good planning, often for their own benefit, even if it didn't seem so at the time. For a time in, I think, the 30s, his grandfather Chapman owned what is now the Hayes Field on the mountain. He had bought it from the Morses, whose farm it had been. And my great-grandfather was a nice man, interested, interestingly enough, in architecture and things like that. Things do get handed down. But he bought it, because in those days, land was basically what you could use it for, and he used it for the blueberries and the lumber, and then he sold it to Boo Hayes, a summer resident, who wanted to conserve the land, and eventually gave it to the town. And that was during my father's long administration, and he was responsible for getting that under control and accepted by the town. And, because it's not always as easy as it sounds. One hears, oh, they're going to give us some land. There's always somebody who opposes that gift, always. It's just amazing to me that anybody could not want to, but there always is. And I wonder if my father didn't see one of his bigger failures. You know, he had so many successes, but a man named Walter Hiler, who was also out to make a dollar, bought a piece of the mountain that was for sale that nobody had been bothering by or worry about protecting, because of course no one would ever hurt the mountain. Well, that was then, and this was later then. And I think my father thought he was going to be able to use his usual wily negotiating ways and talk Walter out of it, and Walter wouldn't be talked out of it, and he went on the offensive. You know, he was mad the town was against him developing the mountain, that side of the mountain, that shoulder of the mountain, into lots. And he was a generally contentious guy, and you know, my father wasn't able to stop it. Fortunately, it led to the formation of the Heritage Trust, which my father helped a great deal behind the scenes, and the Heritage Trust was able to acquire the mountain with minimal scarring. There still is the scar of Walter's road up the mountain, but so be it. And, you know, the Heritage Trust, thank God, has, you know, gathered easements on what they don't own and inherited more pieces, and now it's one of our major recreational and conservation facilities. Sometimes with trails that old people, I'm an old person, have trouble negotiating. I grew up on a hill, and if I'd looked behind the house, there was the mountain in our backyard. And if I looked in front, there was the bay and the Mount Desert Hills. Everything has grown up in both directions now, and you can't see it, and I haven't lived in that house since I was 17. But, you know, it means exactly the same things to me, something I just love seeing. It's as simple as that. I love that it's there. I love that people love it. I love that it gives us our name. It gives us our collective symbol. It's our collective symbol.